You want my real name?
No, your fake name, your alias.
My alias? Okay. Well, my name is TJ Ryan. I'm here to talk about my trip that I took last summer to a bunch of countries. Started off in Guatemala, then to Costa Rica, Ecuador, Peru, Bolivia.
We travel for business. We travel for pleasure. We travel to expand our minds. Whether it's one state over or halfway around the globe. If the world's a book, why only read one page? I'm Elizabeth Hill, and you're listening to a WAMC Northeast Public Radio production. This is Postcards from the Road.
So you didn't take a chicken bus anyway.
We did not take a chicken bus. What is a chicken bus?
Two-toed sloth. And a big problem there is they climb on electrical wires and they get electrocuted.
Tim Ryan is a grad student at Ontario Veterinary College in Guelph, Ontario, Canada. He recently finished up his third year and headed back to upstate New York, where he grew up. Before hitting the road for a year of clinical work across the country, I caught up with him at our studios in Albany to talk about his time with Global Vets. Global Vets is a nonprofit student-run program at OVC, which allows student veterinarians the opportunity to investigate animal health in developing countries. This is episode 5, Have Vet, Will Travel.
I guess it was kind of funny. I realized until I went to vet school in Canada, I never left the U.S. Once I went to Canada, I traveled out to Western Canada, to Saskatchewan, in the middle of winter, which I wouldn't recommend. So I was like, first major trip out west, and I ended up going to Europe. And it wasn't that I never liked to travel. I just kind of never left the States. I figured since I'm there, I had this awesome program to kind of travel wherever you wanted and help animals and kind of lower pressure environment. And you're kind of able to kind of work on your feet and see the side of your profession that's not the, you know, the glamour that you might see here with all the fancy tools and fancy facilities. Down there, it's like, you have what you have, and you might have to use things you wouldn't normally use anywhere else. I decided, since I'm in school and I have the time now, and I might not have the time when I'm done, why not? Seemed like the perfect opportunity. Most people go to Southeast Asia or South America, Central America, sometimes various countries in Africa, but not as commonly. We chose Central South America, and our goal was to do what we could with our knowledge to help people there learn about veterinary medicine, how it can impact their lives via agriculture, wildlife conservation, and then, of course, just cats and dogs that they have, you know, as their pets. So we worked with organizations via sponsorships, but not actually to train. And the trip was also kind of for us as well. So we worked with smaller organizations such as like humane societies or rescues, like dog and cat rescues or wildlife rescues. And so it's kind of more of a give and take type relationship. They didn't necessarily have a veterinary expertise or veterinarians on staff at all these places we went to. So for what we could do, provide basic care and then kind of help them better learn from that. And actually, I have a cool story. In Costa Rica, there's a lot of sloths. Two-toed, three-toed sloths. And a big problem there is they climb on electrical wires and they get electrocuted. And so when we were at the Costa Rica Animal Rescue Center, which is somewhere outside San Jose, the capital, they had a sloth there named Violetto. And he got pretty badly electrocuted and then had severe burns on his arm. One so much so that they had to amputate. And the other one was pretty damaged. It was dying from the burn that it had, and they were potentially had to amputate that as well. So when we got there, they were kind of bandaging the wound to do the best they could to help it heal. And luckily for us, we had just kind of had this lecture about wound care and bandaging and what to do and what not to do. And it turned out that they were actually doing it wrong. And that was actually making the whole burn worse. So when we got there, we noticed they weren't really using an absorption layer for the tissue, which typically you'll put cotton on there to kind of absorb all the fluid and excess stuff that's coming out, because that kind of helps. Actually, if it stays there, it kind of kills the tissue. So a simple fix, we got in there, helped them, taught them how to, you know, apply proper bandages and why to use cotton and in certain situations. And his arm, after we left, actually fully healed. And now he's a pretty like functional three-legged sloth.
So you keep in contact with the places that you went and the people that you met?
Slightly. That's a lot of them have Facebook pages. A lot of them take money from the U.S., actually, or like Europe or various developed countries. So they try to have a strong social media presence if they're able to. That's kind of how we would help, in a basic way, help these organizations kind of improve their efforts to help animals in whatever way, whatever their mission was. So for this place, it was conservation and trying to educate people on how humans impact wildlife and how we might be able to, you know, prevent that or prevent these injuries from happening. And then just, you kind of read about these animals, you see them on TV, but you probably don't really get a sense of how real it is until you kind of go to these places and you see it and kind of work with these animals and see them in real life. So that was pretty cool. And that was kind of what we were doing and kind of helping these organizations better themselves. And they gave us the experience to practice our skills that we barely have. So, yeah.
That's awesome. You had a vastly different experience in Guatemala than I did from just conversations that we've had. It was very frightening. Tikal was really cool, and driving through and seeing all the advertisements of Coke and Pepsi from like the 80s on the sides of the road, just a little pack of pigs running on the side of the road, and turkeys. So many turkeys. I didn't think wild turkeys were as big in Guatemala, but they're huge. And AK-47s. I saw a lot of those. What was your experience in Guatemala?
So, Guatemala was interesting. I didn't have any experience with AK-47. I saw a lot more guns in Bolivia. So in Guatemala, we started off in this little town called Zumpango, which is 2 hours in some direction from Guatemala City. We were working at a animal shelter called Aware, and that's run by an American woman named Shenny. She's lived there for a very long time and was one of the founders. So we were there. They had a lot of dogs, a lot of cats. We were kind of there to kind of help out with vaccinations and flea and tick control, mange, wound care, whatever kind of came in. And a lot of local people would bring their animals in as well to kind of get vaccinations or whatever. They also ran spay and neuter clinics, but we weren't around for those. So we were kind of there for a while, and then we decided, since we had a little time, we'd also go to Lake Atitlan, which I don't know if you went there or not.
I did not. I only had one day in Guatemala. We crossed the border from Belize into Guatemala. We took a van to Tikal.
Took a van. So you didn't take a chicken bus anyway.
We did not take a chicken bus. What is a chicken bus?
Yeah, so in my opinion, a chicken bus, well, it's a school bus, like, you know, your 80s, maybe even older, 60s school bus you would take here. But it's like decked out as if it's from like a Mad Max film, in my opinion, with crazy chrome going on or like crazy paint jobs. And they drive up to their bus station. They're yelling at you. Like, we were always making fun of the guys because they're going, Antigua, Antigua, Antigua. And it's like yelling at you, jumping off the bus while the bus is still moving to get you to come on. And you'd be like, okay, yeah, I want to go on this bus. And then they would kind of throw all your stuff on top of the bus. And you're like, okay, I hope none of it falls off. So we were going to Lake Atitlan from another town that was close to where we were. And there was a detour because there was like some government protest going on at the time. So they detoured us through all these mountains. We're in the chicken bus flying around these like super tight corners, and there's not enough room for two buses to go at once. And so their solution for that is to beep their horn a few times and hope that somebody hears it and stops. And you're just flying around these corners, up and down, flying in the seats. There's guys in the back still throwing luggage around while the bus is moving or hanging off the back. And you're like, I hope you survive it. You must, because you clearly do this for a living. Yeah, it was just crazy. They're nuts. But the buses were an interesting experience. And luckily we had a friend who he was working on his master's of some sort. He was actually studying, doing a research project at the lake. And so we kind of made friends with him. He spoke pretty good English. And he kind of helped us get to where we had to go and was really nice about it. And so that was actually really great. It was great to find him because when we got that detour, they actually were trying to charge more money, you know, because of this extra distance. And since we had him to kind of help us, we probably didn't get charged as much as maybe we would have being clearly not from there. So
we were crossing the border from Belize into Guatemala, and half of the group got swindled into paying to come into Guatemala. And then the other half of us got swindled to come out of Guatemala back into Belize.
Bolivia, for instance, in La Paz, they'd have people that would dress up as cops and try to like tell you you owe money for something or say like this is a fine, whatever, and convince tourists that they need to pay them, and then they do, and they turns out they're not real cops. So it seems to happen in all different parts of Central South America, and I'm sure elsewhere too.
Stray dogs you were talking about in Guatemala. I saw them in Belize.
There's some stray dogs in Ecuador too. Actually, we might have met a really nice dog in Ecuador that was a stray dog. She had the best life, I think. So I guess that's one thing you could think about. Sometimes maybe you want to take these stray dogs in, but they might have better lives. She lived out on the beach all day and then went into town at night and kind of hung out on the party street and seemed to do pretty well for herself. So yeah. What about Ecuador? The Galapagos. Which
those famous islands.
Again, too poor to go to, but we went to the poor man's Galapagos, which still had like blue-footed boobies and stuff. For not being able to book a fancy trip to Galapagos, that was kind of a nice other thing to do. Also a rather touristy town, but there's a lot of very nice hostels that we kind of were able to take advantage of and pretty affordable. And it was a fun time right along the beach.
That area, were they safe to stay in? Did you feel comfortable?
Yeah, we were a bit of a a funny group. So some of the things we planned, some of the things we didn't. But overall, everywhere we stayed, we felt pretty good about. A lot of people are just like us, kind of moving in and out. And a lot of the places were actually fairly nice for the money that it was. So actually, we probably really lucked out overall. We tried to just did simple Google searches in the towns that we were going to and tried to look at most of the reviews that we could and kind of hope for the best. If we didn't like what we saw, then we'd scram. But we actually had no difficulty in finding a decent place, and we had no real issues at all. Most places gave us, cubbies to lock our things in. And even sometimes we were able to get rooms just to ourselves as opposed to sharing as well. So definitely look at reviews, obviously. And, you know, if you don't like the place, then, you know, move on. Don't, if you don't like it, don't trust it. But I think, like I said, since a lot of people, there are a lot of tourists and there are a lot of, you know, North Americans that go down there, buy things and run these places, that you can find a lot of places that are legitimate and nice and not super expensive. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. And they set you up with so many good things too, like places to go and like walking tours of cities, which are great. There's a lot of those in Europe and down in South America and Central America too. So great places. So Ecuador was kind of just a pit stop. We weren't really doing much in there. We're trying to make our way to Peru and then to Bolivia. So we kind of just hung out in this town for a couple of days to kind of relax and rejuvenate from doing all sorts of crazy animal things.
So you got to just relax on the beach with a beer?
Yeah.
That's nice.
Pretty good time. And it was actually pretty funny because the hostel we ended up staying in was owned by a Canadian. And so actually from the Ontario area. So they're like, oh, we know exactly where you're from. And so that was pretty cool. And I think that's a pretty popular thing down there too, is various English-speaking people from the U.S. and Canada will go down and kind of buy properties down there and retire and start a hostel or a bed and breakfast. One thing that amazed me about Central and South America is just all the different like biospheres that they have. Like Peru, for instance, is desert, you know, the Andes Mountains, all these tropical rainforests. Peru is a very cool place. Machu Picchu is the best. And I suggest doing a hike or something. Don't just take the train to Machu Picchu. I would say definitely do some sort of hike. There's all kinds of crazy options you can do. We kind of did one that was still fun. A little bit of mountain biking, a little bit of zip lining, some hiking, and that kind of got you to Machu Picchu in about 3 days, 3 nights, 4 days, something like that. That was a great experience. I'm not a big fan of zip lining.
No.
But I did it. We went to this place. It was pretty fun. I mean, it was huge. The canyon was huge, and it was like a mile long zip line, and it was fun. But I just not a big fan. But they had this bridge that I was not happy about because it was like this, you know, those sketchy bridges you see in the movies.
Indiana Jones Bridge.
Yeah, like an Indiana Jones Bridge. Where you're crossing and it's gonna collapse, right? The steps are like super wide, like far apart. And so they had one of those, and I mean, we are tethered, so theoretically nothing's gonna happen to you. But if you did slip between one of these planks, like you're gonna just be dangling there through the bridge over this huge canyon. And you know, you got guys that are think it's funny to start like bouncing on the bridge and shaking it. So that wasn't very fun for me, but for all thrill seekers, that'd be a good thing to do. But I'd definitely recommend doing something like that. It was great to kind of see some of the Inca passes. I don't know how they traveled with alpacas through some of these areas. I imagine there was a fair number of mortalities among alpacas. But it's very cool. It's very cool to see what that was all about. And I was honestly amazed about how smart of a people they were. Kind of a short-lived empire with the arrival of the Spanish, unfortunately, but very cool. Machu Picchu was just blew me away.
Where are you headed next?
I don't know.
You don't
as
know?
Far as traveling?
Yeah.
Not anywhere too soon. Unfortunately, my program is now my last year of the program, so it's clinical year. I kind of had to buckle down this year and do some less fun traveling, but the one nice thing is I do have some flexibility for my rotations that I have to do, so hopefully I can find someplace cool to go. So yeah. We'll see.
Postcards from the Road is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. Our theme music is Kevin MacLeod's Cherry Blossom Wonders. As always, if you like what you hear, subscribe on your audio app of choice. Visit wamcpodcasts.org for more information.